It's been my prayer this week that, you know how most preachers will pray, God, let the house of the Lord be full, and may you accomplish all that you want to accomplish in our lives, amen. And then you go about your day, and there's a whole bunch of distractions, and maybe that's your prayer this morning, that you want God to do something amazing, but there's been all of these distractions. So here was my prayer almost every day this week. Yes, you want the house full. Yes, you want God to accomplish something in your life, but here's been my prayer. God, may we at this moment have hearts open and ready to receive what you have for us, that we would willfully want you to speak to us, amen, that you would want God to minister to you in a special way. I know there's a lot of distractions. I know there's a lot of things going on in our lives, and if we just get our eyes on those things, it's discouraging. But my prayer is this morning that as we go to your word, and title of the message is Living in His Presence, is desiring above all the distractions, above all the things going on in our life, that we take this time and a time in every part of our day to allow God to do something special. Amen? Would you just bow your head with me? Father, as we just take a moment to open up your word, I'm praying, Lord God, that you would work in each one of our lives. You're wanting to work in our lives. We're not here by accident. The message can't be for those that aren't here, but the message is for those that are here within the sound of this preacher's voice and with your anointing, that you would speak directly to us. May our hearts be open and ready to receive it. May we make the changes that are needed. May we be open for the things that you would provide opportunity for us in, and that you would get honor and glory in it. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been kind of looking the last few weeks at different areas of our lives, and last week we looked at worship, and we looked at how worship can change our lives, and how worship, if we're not looking at it as an event but a lifestyle, how it can minister to us. We saw that we make decisions individually, but that we need each other. Amen. I need you. You need each other. You need to get in God's presence. This morning we take time to looking at living in God's presence. Everybody would say amen. If I said, do you want to live in God's presence? You would say amen, but what are you doing to be intentional to be in God's presence? Intentional on hearing God's voice. Intentional on learning God's word. Intentional on applying these things to our lives. We make choices every day. But I want you to know the most important choice you will ever make every morning is whether you're going to allow God to be a part of your life and a part of that day and a part of the decisions that you make on a daily basis, and whether you're going to have God be active in your life or inactive in your life. If you had to look at a theme of the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy, it is all about choice. The Israelites had a choice. Moses, as their leader, was trying to, and Joshua, as he came in, insisted that the nation of Israel come to the realization and understand that they had an obligation to choose who they would follow, Jehovah God, or allow other gods to take them away from the one true God. And this morning we have the same mandate. Each and every one of us has the same mandate today. We are to choose who we will follow, who we will be obedient to, and whether we are going to allow God into our lives, into those most sacred places of our life. And the danger for Israel and the danger for us is that if we're not careful, we allow all these other things to become the center of our lives and not allowing God to be a part of that. If you would turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to be looking at verses 11 to 20. Starting at verse 11. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it. No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love your Lord, your God, to walk in obedience to him and to keep his commandments, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient and you're not drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heaven and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to them, to him, for the Lord is your life. And he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. All about choices. All about decisions and not procrastinating. All about knowing God's word and being educated so that we can make good decisions. Getting on track and staying on track, even in those hard times, and not giving up. The Bible is full of references of people who encountered God. You think of, you know, looking at these things and you see that Moses at the tent of meeting and as he's going up on the mountaintop of God, encountered God. And the scripture tells us that Moses, when he came down, had this glow about him, had this look that he was in the presence of God. How many would love to be so close to God that somebody would just look at you and know that you had spent time with the Lord? Look at you and know that there was something different about you. And Isaiah looks at it and he talks about a vision where he encountered God. And while he encountered God, he was confronted with not only his sin, but the sin of mankind. And begin to just see that time with God would reveal himself to us, and time with God would show us our shortcomings. Time with God would show us how much we need him. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus encounters God, and he sees very quickly that our time with God will reveal our need for God. Every time preachers, every time teachers begin to talk about holiness of God, we have this impression that that's all of a sudden about us getting rid of things in our lives, about not having fun anymore, about only doing what the Lord wants in our lives. But that's part of it. But once you understand holiness and understand who God is and what God has done for us, there should be worship. There should be wanting to get into his presence. There should be this part of us that allows God to change the things that we need to do. Being holy is not a bad thing. Say amen to that. Being holy is not a bad thing. It's not a punishment. It's not anything except desiring God to be present in our lives, and that as we have more of God, there's less of us. Amen? There's less of us, and God begins to do a work in our lives, that our lives begin to reflect Christ more than ourselves. It's not a punishment, but it's a blessing. And it's a desire for us to want to do more of God's will. His presence is what we need in our lives. Amen? His presence is what you need, even though we don't feel like it, and we get clouded by distractions, we get clouded by decisions that we have to make, we get clouded by needs that we have. His presence is what we need. And in his presence, he begins to work out some of these other things. God has been touching people in our congregation more in the last few weeks than I remember for a long time. The question this morning is, what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do when we're confronted in the presence of God and God begins to want to make some of these changes in our lives? Are we going to let him? Are we going to say yes to him when he desires to do these different things? There's an old Scottish saying, and it's kind of this Scottish woman who went around home to home selling buttons and thread and all these kinds of things and shoestrings. And when she came to a crossroad and she had to decide which way she would go, she would throw a stick up in the air, and whichever way that stick pointed would be the way that she would go. And one time, as they saw her at the end of town, and she was at this crossroad, and she was throwing this stick up, and they noticed that she was doing it several times, and they were like, "Why are you doing this?" And she says, "Well, I want to go to the left, but the stick just keeps falling to the right." And that is what's going on in a lot of our lives. We say to God, we want God to do something special in our lives. We want him to be a part of our lives. But really, when we get to those crossroads and we get to those parts of our lives where we're needing God, and when he speaks to us, if we don't like what he's saying, we kind of throw the stick up in the air again, so to speak, until we get what we think we want and we find out that it's not what we really want. Decisions, your decisions are a key to your future. Can you say amen to that? The decisions you make are key to your future. There is a consequence for bad decisions. There is a blessing for making right decisions. Verse 15, it says here, "See, I have set before you this day." I want you to know something. Faith is always today. Think about it for a minute. Faith is always today. You cannot survive on yesterday's faith. It's not about yesterday. It's about today. Yesterday's faith will not see you through today. Today's faith will see you through the day. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but today. You've heard the term free will, and your people run with that. It really means that God gives every human being the opportunity to make choices that will affect their destiny. Unfortunately, with free will, we have to understand that bad decisions made by other people affect our destiny too, affect our lives. And God understands that. It means why we have to draw so much closer to him. It does not mean that God didn't redeem mankind. He's already taken care of all of that. It means that every human decides whether they are going to accept what Jesus has done. Free will doesn't say that you can do anything that you want. Amen? If you're going to be outside of the parameters of God and outside of God's grace and outside of God's mercy, yes, you can do whatever you want, but there is a consequence. But free will is within the guidelines of God. The blessings are within the parameters of God's grace and God's mercy. Some believe that they're not as bad as someone else, and they use that as a scale of reference. Well, that's great. You can do that, but that's not the scale of reference that God will look at your life for. It's not whether you're as bad as so-and-so. It's whether he sees the blood of Jesus Christ in your life. He tells us that it's in our decisions, that making a wise decision based upon your knowledge of God and what God is doing is a wise decision. So here's a couple things I want to take a look at. Number one is this: living in God's presence is to know his word. I think a lot of today is that we've allowed ourselves to get so busy, so distracted. We're living on God's word, what we knew years ago, and God is distant because we're not getting something fresh and new from the Lord. We're not getting that energy in the morning on a blessing of something we read in God's word. We're not getting energized by something that we read in God's word. It's not hard to know God's will. Say amen. It's hard to do God's will. Amen? It's not hard to know God's will. We know what God wants out of us. What makes it hard is when we want something outside of God's will. And we begin to buck God and want to do our own thing. People say they wish that God would speak audibly to them. No, you don't. No, you don't. That probably wouldn't be so good. People would want to make excuses why they didn't listen to God. Can you imagine if God gave you an audible direction and you turned away from him? The word of God given to man was for man to understand the heart and the mind of God. Without the word of God, without interpretation of God's word, without God giving you something fresh and new every morning, you cannot know God unless God would reveal himself. And the way he reveals himself most of the time is in his word and showing us what we're to do and how we're to live. If you don't read his word, we have no one to blame but ourselves for not hearing what God has to say. Look at this verse again. Now what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It's not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will descend into heaven or get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. We look to God to speak to us audibly, and we don't study his written word. And we wonder why we don't understand what's going on or why we don't have answers. And God's saying, it's in my word. If you would just take the time to look at it, it's in my word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. For the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. What he's telling us there is everything you need is in God's word. Everything you need is in God's word. He's not going to tell me. He didn't tell me this morning to wear this striped shirt. He don't care. Becky cares that it matches. That's about it. He don't care. But what he's telling us in his word is, I'll show you the way. I'll correct you when needed. I'll bless you when you're within the parameters of God's word. When you're studying, I will show you things that you've never seen before. How many have read a scripture 1,000 times and the 1,001st time you read something that you didn't see there before? Because God's showing you something. Because it fits for the moment that you're looking at it. Psalm 119 says, your word, God, is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It will illuminate the way. When it seems dark, I will show you in my word what you need to do, how you should be presenting yourself. If you want God's presence in your life, then you need to do what you already know in God's word. Amen. Those things that God has already showed you, it's not debatable. It's one of those non-negotiable on some of these things. And we're thinking God's going to change his mind, and he's not changing his mind. He's showing us things, and then we're debating whether we're going to get involved or we're going to do it. Choosing obedience over our excuses benefits us. Think how this world would be if all obeyed God. If all obeyed God, it would be heaven here on earth. Amen? It would be obedience bringing blessings. It would be avoiding disobedience and heartache and destruction. Choosing obedience over excuses would bring us into the presence of God. Because as soon as he would begin to speak, we would be saying, yes, Lord, instead of running away because we know that there's things in our lives that he wants to change and we're not willing to change them. The second thing is living in God's presence means making right decisions. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. We want God's blessing and yet we do our own thing. It don't work that way. Can you say amen to that? It doesn't work that way. Blessings from God comes as a result of obedience. He tells us to walk in his ways, to respond in a Christ-like manner, to do our own things as our choice, but it's a bad choice. It's not the right choice. To live a Christ-like life means that Christ has to dwell in us and he must direct our lives. We walk in his ways because we love the Lord more than we love doing what we want to do. It's loving the Lord with all our heart and all our mind and all our soul and all our body. It's a choice that we make, and we're blessed and we're empowered when we fall within the parameters of God's word. See, we can sing this song all the time, but I've settled whether I'm going to follow Jesus or not. And we need to settle that. We need to settle that every day you're not going to decide whether you're going to follow Jesus. Every day you're not going to decide whether you're going to do what's right. Every day you're not going to decide if this is going to work for you. I desire to know God's word so that I know that I fall within God's will. I want to know God's word so that I can have direction. I want to know God's word at those times when he's so silent. I think sometimes he's silent because he says, I already told you in my word. There's a blessing for digging into God's word. There's a blessing when you search the scriptures for answers. He brings a blessing. The third thing is this: living in God's presence means we're not going to give up. Amen. The saddest words that I believe go to God's ears is Christianity doesn't work for me. What part of that doesn't work for you? The part that says that we may go through some sufferings? The part that says that the Lord's not doing what we think he should do when we think he should do it? The part that we're not willing to surrender to his ways? The part that we just get impatient sometimes? I'm guilty of that. I would never pray for patience because I already struggle with impatience. And I tell you this morning, believe me, I don't have all the answers. I do not have them when I'm going through those dark times and going through trials and going through all the things sometimes that I think are unfair and cruel punishment. And I don't have all the answers when you're going through them. But I know this: God's not a liar. God's word is true. He is faithful. He will never take you farther than he will be willing to walk with you. He is the author and finisher of our faith, which means that he must be the beginning and the end of our lives, every part of it and everything in between. Faith is not a one-time thing. It's a lifestyle. It's keeping our eyes on God no matter what we're going through for as long as we need to until God brings us through to the other side. There are no healings. There are no blessings. There are no provisions. There are no husbands and wives and jobs and deliverance and empowerment to those that just give up and fall short. We got to stay the course. Aren't you glad that God's word doesn't say that we need to finish first? Go ahead and say amen. God's word doesn't say that we need to finish first. God's word says we need to finish. We're told to finish the race, keep our eyes on the prize, and that Jesus Christ at the finish line is waiting for us and cheering us on. Here's the problem as I close this out. If we can't trust God to get you to the finish line, you probably won't trust God to empower you with the strength to get to the finish line, and you probably won't trust him enough to know that he has your best interest in your life. Amen. Living in his presence is 24/7, and it's intentional. You do not decide every day whether you're going to follow God or not. Moses wanted Israel to understand this, and God's word clearly shows that he wants us to understand this, that there is life and death, and that it's more than just the physical life or death, but it's also the quality of life that he desires for us while we're even here on earth. While we're young, I notice people that while they're young, they want everything that somebody that's taken 40 years to have, they want it right now. They don't want to wait for it. They don't want to work for it. They want it right now, and they think they're entitled to it right now, and they don't want to pay the dues that somebody else has paid to get to where they're at. And then I think as we get older, and our health begins to go, and we begin to struggle with everyday things that we could do before the presence of God, is a struggle to us because we realize that we're not where we used to be. We can't do the things that we used to do with the ease that we used to be able to do them. There's a reason that God says the Holy Spirit dwells within us, because we need Him. We need Him in our lives. Whether you're old or young, whether whatever the circumstance or whatever the situation is, we need His power and we need His strength and we need Him working in our lives. Those days that we're just empty is the days that He says He wants to fill us to overflow. And those are the days when all the pressures of the day just seem to take over. And God says, I want to give you peace. I want to be all that you need this morning. The times that He says, be encouraged. If I'm for you, who can be against you? If we would allow God to pick us up when we're weak, His power and His strength will see us through. He says, choose life. And then He tells us that we should have abundant life. Granted, I realize, and every day I don't just run around like a madman thanking God for everything, because there's those days that we're distracted. But don't let those distractions keep you from thanking God for what He's doing in our lives. Renew the choice every day by living it in our lives. When my feet hit the ground, I pray that my prayer is every day, this day is for You, Lord. I need Your help every day, every moment of this, but this day is Yours. Choices. Every day we make them, but none as important as whether we're going to allow God in or out of our lives. The greatest word a believer can read, I believe, is part of this scripture where it says, God's telling us that nothing is too difficult for you, or nothing is beyond your reach when God Himself is involved in your life. Amen. The transformation of a human being begins when we let God in. Amen? Amen. Would you bow your head with me? Father, I thank You for Your goodness. And this morning as we close this, I'm asking You to speak to hearts this morning. I'm asking You, Lord God, to minister to those that are hurting. I'm asking You, Lord God, to minister to those that are seeking answers. I'm asking You, Lord God, for those that need a financial blessing. They need direction in their lives. And I'm asking You, Lord God, that You would comfort and guide us. I pray for those that are struggling, whether we're going to allow You to work in our lives, that we would surrender all to You this morning. Allowing You to be God in our lives. Giving You our weakness so that we could be strengthened by Your power and Your might and Your Holy Spirit. I'm asking, Lord God, that faith would go beyond just a shotgun prayer this morning, but that we could actually imagine that You would do something amazing in our lives. Use us abundantly. Use us individually, use us as a church, use us as a family. Lord God, that You would accomplish all that You want to accomplish in us. That Your Spirit would fall fresh and new on us. That's what we need. We need Your presence. We need to sense You working in our lives. And the more that we turn our lives to You, the more we will sense Your presence in our lives. Your word says, I never will leave You or forsake You, but Lord God, when we get so distracted, there are times that You're standing right there and we don't sense it because we're too absorbed in everything going on. Help us, Lord God, to allow You to work in our lives. And may we see some mighty things, not only in our lives, but you working through our lives to others that we come in contact with. And we ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.